now.
Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't adjust your radio dial. This is the North American Wrestling Connection. It's ladies' night, and I am your hostess, Nikki Haymon, who has traveled 1,000 miles over the last 7 days to bring you the latest in wrestling news. I am not alone this evening. I have brought in the finest from Canada, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Trista Timpson.
And I have traveled from my bedroom to the kitchen within the last 4 days. Oh, no, that's not true. I did pick up the mail today, so I was outside for about 20 minutes. And
Ooh.
Then I went back to the kitchen and ate, and yeah. I'm pretty impressive.
But we do have quite a bit of news to talk about, and I think I'm gonna start with something a little bit more in your general direction, Trista.
Okay. I know what that was.
You should know what that is.
Shit, help me out.
That is the ESPN News update tone.
Oh, see, I knew what it was, but then I didn't because we don't get ESPN in Canada.
You have TSN, which is...
We have TSN, The Score, and Sportsnet.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this fine little update is... Essentially, because I know that you, Trista, are a bigger ROH fan than I could ever be.
Though not as big as I could be, if that makes sense.
No, that makes a lot of sense. As, you know, as we recall in the years of the Monday Night Wars, well over 10 years ago, how guys were jumping back and forth between WCW and ECW to then WWF.
That's true.
And now we're starting to see that again. As WWE has gotten on the horn with Ring of Honor and said, hey, we want some of your boys.
Yeah.
So in the last 7 days, the best in the world, the American Dragon, Brian Danielson, and a British gent by the name of Nigel McGuinness, who I've had the honor of meeting a few times, have signed contracts in principle with WWE and could be on TV as soon as Survivor Series.
That's insane. Awesome.
It's insanely awesome.
It's
great. Okay, now, you being a Ring of Honor fan,
yes.
is this going to be a problem for you going to Ring of Honor shows?
Not for me, personally. Like, every show I've been to has had Nigel on the card, which has been awesome because he's given, you know, Ring of Honor, like, amazing matches since he's been with the company. I've always enjoyed watching him because he's a great heel, and he's one of those guys that's like, oh, I'm so pissed off at him, you hate him so much, but it's only because he knows what he's doing. So in the end, it's like, he's a great entertainer because he can play his role, like, super well. So I'll miss not having him at the shows and him, like, right there and getting in everyone's faces and yelling at everyone and being awesome. Same with Danielson. And I hope it doesn't hurt Ring of Honor a lot, because losing Danielson and McGuinness like this, like, back-to-back, I was snapping there. I don't know if you could hear it or not.
But, I can hear it.
Okay. It's just so quick, you know? And it's just like, if they don't get used properly, then WWE clearly doesn't know what they signed, because those guys would be perfect as they are right now. Put them on, like, a wrestling-oriented show as opposed to Raw, and they will shine and whatever you give them. Two great talents.
I look forward to seeing them on the big stage, and I'm sure they're pretty excited about going up. We would have to give thanks to Mr. William Regal, who has been pushing very hard to get these two gentlemen
Yay.
Moved in. And if Regal is not one to be doing too much more in the ring now that he's got a pair of gorillas following him around.
Yeah.
and that's not a derogatory comment at Mr. Ezekiel Jackson. Please don't kill me. But he's a big boy.
He is. Yeah. I worked with a guy that looks like him. Like, if you could put, like, Ezekiel Jackson, like, Ahmed Johnson together,
mm-hmm.
and, like, get a guy that's, like, that big and that black, then, like, he was one of my supervisors in the summer.
I'm sorry.
He was shockingly a wrestling fan as well, and when I told him I was leaving, he said, of course you would be. You watch SmackDown.
That is fantastic.
We had quite a few arguments over CM Punk and his title reigns and how Shelton Benjamin hasn't had a world title reign, to which I said he had a decent U.S. title, which did not impress him, and I ran and cried. He's super big and intimidating. You don't want to piss him off.
No, does not sound like somebody that I would even attempt to.
No,
but
no.
I seem to have that problem, and well, that's a whole nother can of worms.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
But I'm really excited and very interested to see where this goes. Will they have the same success? And I hate to put that word in quotes when we're talking about Matt Sydal / Evan Bourne.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that Bourne has made his way up to Raw is a step pretty much in the right direction.
Or the same success as one CM Punk.
Or to the exceptional success of CM Punk.
Yeah.
I just want to see either of these guys to end up going the way of Colt Cabana.
Oh God.
Colt, I love you, man. Don't take this wrong, but damn.
Yeah.
You got hosed in New York, and that's not fun.
Mm-mm. I cannot believe that. That was heartbreaking, watching Colt being used like that. Absolutely heartbreaking.
So, but if things go well with Nigel and Danielson, who knows, maybe Colt's final ring again, and maybe we can do it right this time.
Mm. I'd like to see Chris Hero and Claudio. I think especially now in WWE when, like, tag teams are, like, a dying breed and there's
mm-hmm.
so few of them, I think if you were to bring in the Kings of Wrestling and just throw them in there, like, as they were, you know, just two tall, buff guys that know they're great wrestlers and just claim themselves as the Kings of Wrestling as soon as they enter, you know, the big stage, I think that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to book them as anything, then I think that's how they should do it. Probably won't.
No, it won't happen that way. I have a feeling that they're going to pair him up with CM Punk, and they're going to be the some sort of Chicago connection, and they're going to have to walk around in Bears jerseys and try to speak with a thick Chicago accent a whole nother yard. Because that's kind of how Vince rolls.
Oh, probably.
So,
you don't want to say anything bad, though, right? Because you can look at failures like Colt Cabana. Not failures as in a general sense, but failures as in like how they were used in WWE and be
right.
Like, oh, that was horrible, you know, they shouldn't be used like that. But then you look at guys like Punk and Bourne, and it's just like they're used properly, kind of.
Bourne is borderline. I admit that.
I just like that he's on Raw and that's like the big show, but then it's like he's in the middle of the feud with Hornswoggle and Chavo.
I think of it as a feud transfer. He's going to get Hornswoggle out of the picture, and then it's going to be Chavo and Bourne. And you take Bourne, who has all of his PUDESU and ROH experience, versus Chavo and all of his lucha training through a very prestigious wrestling family. And I salivated that.
Yeah, that'd be a really great match if, you know, they knew what they were doing. And
if we actually...
Raw.
Exactly. Let's see. There might be a caller out there. I see a caller out there. Should I let him in? I think I know who it is. Should I let him in now?
I guess so.
All right. Caller number
yeah.
two. I think I know who this is.
Yeah. I have the... paperwork, it's all good. You're medically cleared to host, but there's still one little problem.
What's that?
This Buffalo guy put a really big dent in your face.
You had to bring that up.
Yes, I had to bring that up.
All right, all you people in Radio Land, I have a story. Pro Training Wrestling this past Thursday night, I was managing my dear Candy Charles against a Buffalo Brian Jennings, a gentleman who came up through the HWA system, has wrestled through a lot of the eastern part of the United States. He is wrapping up his career in the Ohio area. He decides to take a swing at me because he didn't like the fact that I pulled Candy Charles out from under him. In fact, he was just so upset.
Who in the hell do you think you are?
Chases me around the ring and then knocks me the fuck out. And then settles his business in the ring with poor Candy. Next thing I know, Candy almost lands on top of me. I have a bruise. I also have a sizable bruise on my arm from where he hit me, and I hit the guardrail. However, despite a fist in the mouth, I'm here and I'm working tonight.
Yay!
And the guardrail is, of course, also healthy.
Which is always good to know.
So that was 200 miles of my 1,000 miles. Some of this included 300 miles back and forth from Indianapolis to Insanity Pro Wrestling, where I'm hoping to bring in, not tonight, but on a future show, with your permission, Mr. Seidelman.
Of course.
I'm going to bring in Joseph Schwartz and Sean Tylerstein, a tag team renowned in our area and up in the Michigan area as the Kosher Club, and have established themselves with their fine blue, silver, and black costumes as the Jewish Heart Foundation.
I would love to hear a mixed theme song of Hava Nagila and the original Heart Foundation theme. I wonder how that would sound.
Messy. And I think I just killed Trista.
Oh, by the way, Trista, when you're speaking of guys going to Ring of Honor, you've got one very important person.
I had a feeling I did. A Steel?
Yeah, for the Steel, I say Tyler Black.
I want him for myself, though.
Yes, your very own private wrestling federation.
That's one of the things where it's like, take Danielson, take Nigel, take Claudio, but leave my boy alone, because I want him, you know, where I can see him at all times.
Thank you for the save, Mr. Seidelman.
You're welcome.
He's my background on my phone. Not him, per se, but the back of him is my background on my phone.
Cool.
Yes. It's like a really good picture. I'll send it to you, Nikki.
Yay!
Really good.
Speaking of pictures, Nikki, did you ever find that Evan Bourne picture?
Which Evan Bourne picture am I looking for?
Go to WrestleCraft.com. Go to the random pics and gifs thread. Go to pay. You'll find a picture of Evan Bourne, who looks cute to begin with.
Yes, he does.
And throw in something that makes it even cuter.
Yes.
Kitties!
Evan Bourne in the basket of kittens. Yay.
No, he's cuddling about two or three of them.
I probably shouldn't do that during the show.
Yes, it'd make you squeal in delight so much I'd have to take over again.
I see said picture, and nice try.
Damn it.
Nice try. You cannot have your show back tonight.
I'll take it back next week, then.
Yes, you can have it back next week. Not a problem. Let's see. 360 miles of my road trip took me to Detroit for this week's Raw, where up until last Thursday, I was fearful that I was going to be stuck with Mr. Mike Adamley. Clear heads prevailed. And we ended up with the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, if you will.
Yay.
Tony, there's a lady in the men's bathroom! There's a lady in the men's bathroom.
Some of our bonus footage of the night included FCW call-up Alex Riley doing the I'm one of the leftover jocks from the Revenge of the Nerds movies. And getting his butt kicked by Primo Colon. But the story of the show was essentially Dusty taking advantage of his position and saying, I'm going to put my son Cody against Randy Orton for the WWE Championship. Orton, of course, takes a great deal of offense and tries to intimidate Cody out of it. Cody will have none of that after all. He'd get to be the youngest WWE champion ever. And frankly, Cody, I was rooting for it. Let's skip past the nonsense of the Mark Henry Big Show match and the Chavo Hornswoggle bull rope match, as it were.
Can I just say something right now?
What's that?
Please do the transfer of the feud this week, coming week on Raw, with Bob Barker as host. I'm getting sick and tired of this.
Well, to be honest, you know, I'm surprised that Bob Barker got a mixed reaction.
All right, maybe I should explain why.
Oh.
Although Bob Barker has been in the business for over 50-plus years and is respected, some people hate his guts. Why, you ask? He is sometimes in the older stages in life, very egomaniacal.
If I did something for 50-plus years, I think I'm allowed to have an ego.
Yeah, that's true.
Trista, Nikki. This is a big ego.
Again.
This is huge.
Yes, but remember who we're dealing, you know, who else we deal with on a weekly basis.
Vince McMahon.
And company.
Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
Triple H, Batista, Raw.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that the fact that we're already dealing with a bunch of giant egos. What I'm saying is that since Mr. Barker has so much live television experience, that even though the Price is Right is live to tape, he is going to be in his element. I think he'll be just fine. I just don't know what kind of wrestling knowledge he has.
Which is, I don't think he's got much, but I think he could work his way around that. He knows how to work an audience. If he just tells somebody they're going to play Plinko for $50,000, the crowd will pop.
Easily. Although we also got a bonus pop, since Santino must interact with every single host. Santino's guest appearance as the Shockmaster. In the middle of a great deal of DVD shilling. Yes, I'm looking at you, Sean and Hunter. Dusty, true to his title, decided to set up a little Dusty swerve when he made John Cena the guest referee. So when this match happened, he just looked back and forth and said, I'm sorry, John. And Mr. Cena got the legacy kicked out of him.
Ooh, yeah. He also got a Dusty boot to the head.
And shortly after, Mr. Dusty got an RKO. Now, I've actually, you know, you, Seidelman, you and Jason were both kind of confused by this. You've got to realize Orton's mindset. I know there's something up there. We're just not sure if it really is a mind. But I'm guessing the gears kind of stuck on, hey, this guy put a plan together and tried to make me look bad. Oh, wait, it wasn't supposed to make me look bad, but I wish he'd told me that. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a legend. I have to kill legends. That's my name, Legend Killer.
Mm-hmm.
So when the cameras, yeah, and DX came in and tried to save Cena, and that was just all bad.
Yeah.
So they took care of that after the cameras turned off, as Hunter picked up the microphone and say, hey, how about you ladies come back in the ring? Let's try that again. So that DX and Cena could send everybody home happy by beating the piss out of Legacy. And Dusty getting in a handful of bionic elbows on those three. So, decent show. I had a good time, and kudos to the security people at Joe Louis Arena for making people sit the hell down so the little 5 foot nothing me can see the show.
Oh, you're so little. That's so cute.
I'm taller than Rey Mysterio, and I'm taller than Layla L.
Really? Rey Mysterio?
Yes. So take a look at my picture with Rey Mysterio on NikkiHayman.com in the SmackDown section.
Oh, okay.
I am taller than...
How tall is Mysterio?
They said tonight he was 5'6". But they exaggerate everybody's height.
That's true.
So while you're looking at that, I'll flip over to another 200 miles of road to Cleveland.
Hey, I'm looking at that right now.
Let's see.
Ooh.
He says.
Yes, as I'm seeing Drew McIntyre kicking the crap out of R-Truth.
Yes, as part of SmackDown tonight.
Yes, by the way, Nikki, I forget, where are you sitting again?
I was sitting on the ramp, but I'm closer to where the hard cams are. I watched tonight, I did not see myself. For those of you who watch ECW, I understand that you can see me during the Singapore cane duel on the ramp when Tommy and Christian decided to cane the crap out of Regal's Gorillas. Because I was in hand-slapping range, to which I had the pleasure of confounding one of the other wrestlers. The opening dark match of the evening was Dolph Ziggler versus Jimmy Wang Yang.
He's your boy.
Well, he is my boy. I know Jimmy. I know Jimmy quite well. And I did not inform him that I was attending this event. Jimmy lost to Ziggler in the who's getting the push match. But as Jimmy is being escorted back up the ramp by, and I will confirm this, by referee Goose Mahoney, I happily quipped, good match, Jimmy. He recognized the voice and started looking around. Spotted me, grinned, then went back to selling. And proceeded to give a crap about it when I saw him a couple of days ago. But it was worth it. Figures for me, as some of you guys know that I'm a enormous Hurricane fan, that the one night that Hurricane decides not to have a match is the night I would be attending and waving a pseudo cover of Hurricane Issue 3. A spectacular shot of him not silhouetted, but with lightning striking in the background. But kudos again to the ECW staff for putting him on the Abraham Washington show, the only way they would ever get me to watch him. That Arsenio Hall reject.
Nikki, I think it's time to feed somebody.
Well, let me put it another way. This is pretty much what his show does to me.
Right. Ask me what I'm going to do now. Go on, ask me. What up? I'm going to go bananas. You hear? I'm going to go bananas. I'm awfully sorry about this. He hasn't really got any bananas at all. Of course I haven't got any bananas. I've gone bananas.
I hope that makes things perfectly clear.
What show is that from again?
Danger Mouse.
Oh.
But if you insist, I'm
Sparky.
Sure Sparky's. I'm sure Sparky's hungry.
Yes, one of the few good things from Tic Tac Toe 90. That dragon roar.
So, with the additional creepy laughter of Tony Atlas, since they didn't have anything better for him to do.
They could figure out something better for him to do. They just don't want to give him anything better to do.
True. Question from the chat room. Wasn't Abraham Washington thrown in room 101?
Mickey, do the honors.
I will do that. Trista, are you okay with me getting rid of Abraham Washington?
Sure.
One second. There's the button. And that's taken care of. So, my apologies, Trista. You are still here, and you can, if you would like, you're welcome to hit Mr. Seidelman upside the head.
I can't do that. Not to Robert. Other people, easily. Not to Robert. Oh, come on.
So, all right, then I'll be nice. I'll try to be nice. Kind of hard
Thank
for
you.
Me to do. But they had a little bit of fun on the show, on Abraham Washington's show, where they're trying to get Mr. Helms to spill the beans, despite the fact that they kind of buggered it up the night that he re-debuted and had Hurricane Helms written on the set. They fixed that. They didn't do that the next time he came out, but he's playing it quite well in the bonus video footage from the cherry picker, the superhero looming over Paul Burchill saying that he wants another crack at him. Good with that. But again, Helms still did not do me the favor, and as I've requested him many times on Twitter, please save us from Abraham Washington. Now, Trista, did you have the opportunity to see SmackDown yet?
No, I did not. I was on the phone, and then it was 10 o'clock, and then SmackDown was over. And it's on now. No, it's not. It's on at midnight. And I have that taping, so I'll have it for, like, Sunday or something. I know
okay.
what happens, so I can discuss, but I have not seen it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to at least comment about the opening. The fact that I have a spectacular picture of Punk Hardy doing the smoking guns pose on the ramp as he came down. And if you were sitting in the lower level, you didn't know. They're built so similar. And Punk did a pretty good job doing the poses and the dance. He's completely decked out, the black wife beater, the face paint, the Hardy pendant. He even had a scarf in his back pocket. He posed on the corners, clapped with the crowd, and picked up a microphone and properly turned off the entire arena.
He's awesome. So
and
awesome.
As somebody who did not get to see him during his during what I understand is a legendary heel run in Ring of Honor.
True.
I am going to be exposed to some of this awesome. And the promo that he did, that he cuts, is quite spectacular. Now, since he's so proud of throwing Jeff out of the E, Matt decides he wants to come down and get a piece of this. Which led to our main event of the evening, a non-title match between Punk and Matt Hardy. Matt still looks like he's trying to shape himself up a bit after his abdominal surgery. Still a little thicker in the middle. But we'll get there.
Sure.
We'll get there. Let's see. I'm going to skip over the tag match with Kali and Finley against Kane and Mike Knox, although I will step in for one part of it because they actually did a little interview with Mike Knox that was not shown live. where they apparently talked to Mike Knox, and Mr. Knox talked in a very rational, very clear voice, discussing the compression of bone. So if this shaggy mountain of a man is also a learned man, and then we have Kane, whose promos are helped with his master's degree in English, I would pay a lot of money just to listen to these two for about 15 minutes.
Who are we listening to? Kane and...
Mike Knox. It would creep me the hell out of how astute they could come across. I'll cite Grisham's comment. I heard them plotting in their locker room. A lot of maniacal laughter was heard.
That's pretty awesome.
Let's see. And speaking of awesome, and 8 very good reasons to watch this week's SmackDown,
which I am probably doing right now.
Yes. Just, I mean, in counting all 8 of John Morrison's abs. And if you need assistance, I have a spectacular picture from Dayton on my phone that I can give you in return for the Tyler Black picture.
You're going to have to. I kind of demand it.
I can arrange that.
As politely as I can.
Demand as politely as possible.
I do not have any John Morrison on my phone, so.
Blasphemy!
Well,
I can't do it right this second, but I will do it.
I don't go to WWE shows because they don't come to my area very often, so I can't help it. It's not my fault.
No, it's fine. What we'll do is that, you know, you'll definitely have to watch SmackDown tonight so that you can verify my account.
Okay, I can do that.
As Mr. Morrison and Mr. Mysterio did put on an excellent bout to see who would be facing Dolph Ziggler at Breaking Point.
Oh, Dolph Ziggler.
As nothing was mentioned on air about the fact that Mr. Mysterio is currently is into his 30-day suspension over a wellness violation that, as far as I can tell, is painkiller-related. Ray has gone on record to say that he did not have enough time to get his paperwork in and was upset that they were actually going to go through with this. The fact that he went out and talked to the media about it, I'm guessing Vince decided, you know what, I'm going to suspend you anyway because you didn't have to bring this, you didn't have to air this kind of dirty laundry. But in the words of next week's guest host,
that's dumb.
So depending on whose side you believe, regardless, Ray is going to be missing for 30 days, which would probably be a blessing in disguise because that'll probably give his knees some time to cool off. So in very spectacular fashion, as I look at my picture of Starship Pain in midair.
Very nice.
Mr. Morrison, on the 2-year anniversary of his 30-day suspension that cost him the ECW title, walks away as our new Intercontinental Champion. What goes around comes around. And I had only realized that about an hour ago, I was at the show when Morrison lost the ECW title to CM Punk because of his suspension to the huge signature pharmacy fiasco. And here we are, John Morrison stepping in and taking a belt as somebody else comes on suspension.
A little bit of irony there.
A little bit of irony and a little bit of karma. But the fact that Morrison, no matter who you put him up against in the last 2.5 months, has been putting jaws on the floor and butts in the seats. And not just by taking off his coat. What he's doing in the ring is just mind-blowing.
He's
got a unique...
is mind-blowing.
That's two.
Let me tell you something about John Morrison. My mom hates wrestling, okay? Both of my parents hate wrestling. John Morrison comes on, mom will watch his entrance. Not his match, not anything else, but when the slow-mo hits, she will watch. Because that's amazing. Like, how amazing he looks. Mom hates wrestling. Dad hated wrestling more than anyone I know that can hate anything. John Morrison, however, can make my mom watch. Just with the simple use of a wind machine.
And flinging open that fur coat so that we can stop and count his abs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm drooling on my phone, excuse me.
He would put the glitter on, like when he would come out in just like jeans, and he would like bedazzle his abs.
I thought that was a little goofy, but...
I thought it was amazing. I'll support anything John Morrison decides to do, be it bedazzle his abs or abuse steroids. I'll support his decision if he looks like that.
My.
I think that's the wrong thing to say.
Well, I didn't say, like, I won't support him if he... Whatever. I won't go there.
We should not argue.
I don't think it was the wrong thing to say. I know what I meant, so...
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Let's see. Punk and Matt Hardy put on a pretty serviceable match. Matt's starting to get his emotions back, although he started the show pretty much with the, I'm trying to keep my cool, I'm going to kick your ass now. Punk, however, was actually having problems with Mr. Matt. So this all spills out on the floor. Unfortunately, all the way over by the announce position, so at this point I can't see what's going on, even with everybody sitting down. Punk decides he's going to do a neck pillmanizer to Mr. Hardy. But before he can do that, we hear a very telltale sound. That's of a distant church bell that echoes through the entire arena. The lights go out to the delight of the crowd. Screams of anticipation and mayhap fear. And when the lights come back on, the Undertaker looms over our straight edge champion. Hardy gets the hell out of the way. To which the dead man is apparently still offended, grabs Punk squarely around the throat, and apparently has enough of a grip that despite Punk struggling, Punk cannot break the single-fisted grip and eats an ounce table. To end the show. Punk should make fun of... Sorry?
It sounds exciting.
It's pretty sharp. The fact that Punk was making fun of all of Undertaker's smoke and mirrors, as I kind of snicker to myself and say, but they're real. Undertaker can teleport.
Wrestling wouldn't lie to you like that.
No, never.
Neither would Star Trek.
Shh, don't go there.
Ooh.
William Shatner will show up on your doorstep and kick your ass.
I would bring his biggest weakness of all time.
Jerry Lawler?
No. A replica of the $25,000 pyramid.
Ooh!
For proof, look up William Shatner on YouTube. William Shatner, the Blessed. There's a clip of the $20,000 pyramid on there. It's a clip of the $20,000 pyramid, a constant contestant, big money, and he takes it out on the set.
Would you tell William Shatner what he can and can't do? Let's think about that.
Yes.
What?
I wouldn't.
But then again, I'm a glutton for punishment.
Although, admittedly, I would throw a turkey at him just because.
Now, that's a good Iron Chef America reference right there. No,
well,
Iron Chef USA reference, excuse me.
Yeah. But I
think it's a treasure. A national treasure.
Or maybe I'll just get him to autograph a copy of The Transformed Man.
No, dude, get a T.J. Hooker DVD. But we're getting off topic. As a matter of fact, I skipped a show because, Mr. Settleman, you're probably the only one who saw it this week. Talk to us about Thursday night.
Yeah. Where do I begin? That's just the thing I forgot.
Well, if you want it.
No, okay. I know you don't watch because you have a personal vendetta against, you have something that happened at a past pay-per-view that pissed you off, so you're not watching.
Not at the moment, no.
No. Trista, I don't know if you watch or not.
Watch what? ECW?
No, TNA.
No. I did have it on last night, though, for about... I'd go 45 seconds. And then my brother is like, what are you doing? Change the channel. And then we watched How I Met Your Mother instead. And then I went out and got super drunk, and it was awesome. But no, I do not watch TNA.
Okay. Okay, we got the tag team tournament for women, the Knockouts.
I know about this, though.
Prelim match, Tara and Christy Hemme, who has the worst named finisher in the history of TNA.
Gotta go some to beat the candy wrapper from the E.
What was Gail Kim's finisher? A happy ending?
No. I don't think there was a finish. I don't think Gail Kim had a finisher name. But this name is worse than the candy wrapper, Nikki. The Fire Crotch Guillotine.
And as a redhead, I find that super offensive.
Especially because
who is not a natural redhead. Bitch.
That sounds like a finisher. Then Christy should quit TNA and go join NPO.
MPO?
Las Vegas's new porn order. And yes, they use an NW... Huh?
No, she has too much dignity for that.
With a finisher named like that? I don't think so.
No, she should try to get Jimmy Rave into WWE and reunite with Lance Rock and do the rock and rave infection in WWE, complete with Guitar Hero guitars.
Woo!
Yeah, found
you
was facepalming.
Yeah, but I know Typho is cheering while listening to the show.
Typho. Nice little mod.
Let's see, is this the button?
Kaboom!
Anyway.
Yes. They beat Amada and Sojo Bolt. Sojo Bolt was pinned. Amada got pissed and gave her a sick Amada driver.
Any relation to the Michinoku?
Not really.
Okay.
And Sojo was out. She wasn't moving.
No, if we do that to Mr. Russo, I'd be happy.
No, but we still have the Merry Misadventures of Billy Gunn, a.k.a. Kip James.
He still has a job.
Yes, this time installing a phone line in the main event, Mafia's dressing room. To which he was promptly razzed by Booker T by saying, This is a cell phone! This is the only thing I use! Get out!
Okey-doke.
Yep. And then we had Max the Beautiful People. So, did that match air yet? I think so.
Well...
No, it didn't air. Excuse me, it did not air.
Okay.
Yet.
Well,
I mentioned the Beautiful People because one of the biggest news story to come out of TNA this week is... Angelina Love. No. Perfect. I only do the breaking news thing when we have to throw it to the field. And we don't have anybody in the field yet. We're too cheap. Anyways, Angelina Love, according to PW Insider and PW Picks and other websites, is gone from TNA due to visa issues. Unfortunately, this kind of throws a huge wrench into the plans. She was set to have her contract renewed, but there you go. Because of visa issues, and it turns out even if they find out there's something wrong going on, she could be banned from the United States for 10 years.
It's not that bad of a punishment. Sorry. My bad.
Nikki.
She's gone. She lost everything.
She went up to Canada to join you.
She should. I've rocked this country.
Yes, you also have a superior version of dragons than the Americans.
I don't watch it.
You should.
All right, sorry about that, folks. You still there?
I'm here.
Yep.
Okay.
For
some reason, I got completely thrown off. Okay, that's what I was trying to play earlier. So, I'm sorry, Mr. Seidelman.
We already did that.
Okay, so the Angelina Love info, however, somebody told me it wasn't confirmed, but I'm gonna say let's go with it for now, because until the next set of tapings, we're not gonna know for sure anyway.
Because the tapings are done.
I'm saying the next round of tapings.
You even think that they'll even have her on the pay-per-view?
I don't think so. And the fact that they turned Madison Rain is now back with them tells me a little bit more. Because I was told through somebody else who watches on a regular basis that they were trying to turn her face and then change their mind.
Which is probably a good idea.
So hopefully, I hope they give her a chance to step up. Now
that'd be a good idea.
So let's see. Just to throw in a little bit, since we've pretty much covered, I think we've covered everything we needed to cover. Um, just a few notes from the shows I attended. Before Jericho's match with MVP, during the commercial break, at that point, Jericho did decide to cut a promo, to which he casually busted out his thesaurus and wrote us all up one side and down the other. I decided to be a smartass and tried to start a Y2J chant.
Did it work?
It must have. He was glaring at me. Admittedly, though, his typical reaction, unfortunately, since nobody else was chanting it, he couldn't use his typical reaction, which is, you can chant MVP all you want. He did that to us when he first turned it. He still had Lance Cade as a flunky.
Mm-hmm.
There were a bunch of us chanting Y2J, and he said, you can chant HBK all you want. You know, it's not going to save him. A friend of mine had been at a show where they were chanting for Jericho when he was still heel, and he said, you can chant RVD all you want. But, Miss Trista, if you are interested in spectacular pictures of Mr. Jericho, I might be able to accommodate you.
Hmm.
Support your fellow Canadian, Trista.
Yeah, that's a good point, even if he is from Winnipeg. YWG. Yeah, okay. Send him this way.
All right. Once I finish editing all over, I'll go ahead and get those out to you.
Awesome.
So, also added to my photo collection, and I know, you know, I'm probably, you know, in the minority here as a DX fan, even of the new DX, that I finally got my picture of the two of them posing together at the top of the ramp. With your Mr. Hunter in the Eagle Wing and Mr. Michaels in front of him and doing his traditional double bicep, which I'm looking at right now, and I'm quite happy. After the two of them goofed around in the cage and beat up Rose and DiBiase, and Hunter still doing the shtick of, for the millions not watching at home.
Trust me, I do not watch.
Well, the gist of it is just the fact that it is after the show is already over.
Yeah.
And he says for the millions watching at home, and Sean stops him. When it came to Raw, he stops him, and Hunter asks what time it was, and he's like, it's 11:20. Oh. So nobody saw that. So nobody got to see us kicking their butts. Sean says, yeah, but they saw them kicking our butts. He says, well, this is just so confusing. And he points at the hard cam. You see that red light? That tells me we're on the air. Why is that still on? Same shtick Tuesday night, except that when they got out there to do their thing, it was only 10:30. Like, oh, we still got a half an hour. Michael stops him again and points at the set. Hunter looks over at the set, looks back at Sean, and says, what the hell are we doing on SmackDown? But you're right. Nobody's going to see this anyway. It's Tuesday. Nobody, even if the cameras were on, nobody see it till Friday. So, yes, Hunter is still a bona fide doofus.
And apparently, which I've learned from watching the latest Botchamania, he quotes Clint Eastwood like a freaking mark.
Well, he just wants to, he has a few badasses to mark out to. As we all know that he is a dyed-in-the-wool Ric Flair mark.
Yep.
And I'm still looking for the picture of him with blonde hair standing next to Ric Flair. It exists. I know it does.
Yes. Only he was called Terra Rising.
Yes. But I want this picture. A reward of 150,000 internets to the person who can produce this picture and post it in WrestleCraft's random picks and gifts thread. So. Oh. Well, up and coming for me. So September 8th.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, September 18th, I believe. In 2 weeks. Ring of Honor will be in Dayton. I have front row seats, where I hope to shake Mr. Danielson's hand and wish him luck up north. I've already been told that Nigel is not going to be there, which is a crying shame. I met Nigel McGuinness back in 2003 when he was still training at Heartland and beating up drunks in the back of Jillian's. So he's come a long way, and I'm really, really happy to hear that he's getting this opportunity.
I think not at a moment too soon. The injuries are probably going to catch up to him. He's had quite a bit of injuries. I mean, I think the last 6 months of his title reign was working through injury.
Trista, you know the answer to that.
About Nigel
working hurt.
Oh, yeah, he does that a lot. Shouldn't, but he does, and then he gets injured. But, oh well.
Well, with the e-contract, judging from what a couple people have said, if he does get hurt, they're going to encourage him at least to go get himself fixed first instead of trying to play through it.
There's a lot of fixing on Nigel McGuinness.
Well, the good news is with this contract, the first thing he can do is go get himself fixed.
His neck
not in the Bob Barker, not in the Bob Barker sense.
That's how we're going to end the show next week. I'm going to have my buddy, I'm going to have either Carl or Jim record Bob Barker saying that, and that's how we're going to end the show.
So, but, Christy, you were saying that Nigel's got a bad neck. I know he's got, doesn't he have shoulder issues, too?
Tricep issues.
Okay.
I don't know if he has a bad neck, but, like, at the shows I was at in July, the Death Before Dishonor shows, he suffered a stinger the first night and was unable to wrestle the second night, which broke my heart because he was supposed to wrestle Tyler Black, and I was all set for it. But, yeah, it was pretty bad, though. He wasn't moving after the first night, and he was helped out to the back. And I talked, like, the guys I was with or whatever, we were talking to one guy that worked the dark match earlier, and he was like, there's no way Nigel is wrestling, like, the next night. When we went outside, there was, like, the ambulance there and everything, so.
Oh, wow.
It was scary. But, yeah. I think he's okay now, but that wasn't something that was fun to witness. Watching a wrestler,
mm-hmm.
You know, just lay there. You can kind of see him moving his fingers and, like, the fingers slow down and moving the feet slow down and wasn't fun. Not at all.
No, that's right up there with, that's worse than the last show I went to. I believe one of the Briscoes took a bad spill and pretty much busted himself open hard way.
Bad spills must have been Mark.
Yeah, probably.
So we were...
You
know,
one of the two.
When me and Fire and Seamus left, we were looking just trying to find something to drink because there was no concession stand at this show. So we went across the street to the hospital to see if we could get into their snack bar, and they wouldn't let us in. On our way back, we see Mark being escorted by Jay... He's got a towel over his head because he's bleeding so bad. So, but them's the ups and downs of the business.
Yeah.
So, hopefully next week, you know, Trista, I really appreciate you showing up. I really wish Chelsea was available, and I wish Fire was able to drop by. That way we could have all four of the Jumping Bob Angels playing the show.
Yes, leaving me as the Bobby the Brain Heenan of the group.
But, Mr. Seidelman, I will give you your show back next week. After all,
mm-hmm.
You're going to have a game show edition to play with.
Oh.
So
and
get your
Nikki,
game.
Yeah.
So have your game show
it's
music
gonna
ready.
It's
going to
be more than game shows. It's also going to be pick'ems.
That's true.
Next week.
But we'll just,
never mind. I was thinking of something else.
So, this being a rather tame ladies' night, Trista, Rob, thank you. This is Nikki Heyman getting ready to sign off for the North American Wrestling Connection. Please come back next week. And who knows what you might win. Good night, guys.
What about Rich telling them what they might win?